D.C. was the nation's capital, but it wasn't immune from the racism of the 50s and 60s.
This, at that time, was a segregated city. And this community was a very prominent, classy African-American community.
Virginia Ali saw no need to leave the U Street area. She and her husband found everyone they needed.
The architect, the contractor, cabinet maker, electrician, plumber, all within 6 or 7 blocks of our community.
To open their new restaurant, Ben's Chili Bowl.
And they were with you for the duration of their career.
African-Americans couldn't shop downtown, but
a lot of people like myself, we didn't care. We stayed up here where we had everything anyway. We had the same things, and they were owned by our folks.
Says Rick Lee.
It was just a thriving area, and it was basically owned by African-Americans, almost.
Those businesses included Lee's Flower Shop, owned by his parents, along with Ben's a block away.
The community has been there for us, and we've been there for the community. We made friends with the community early on.
But there was a growing sense of tension.
During the summers of 66 and 67, things began to heat up.
There were over 150 race riots around the country in the summer of 1967 alone, but Ali hoped it might not spread to D.C.
This is the nation's capital. We have the federal government. We have jobs here. We didn't expect it to happen here.
Until the door swung open at Ben's.
Someone just ran into the door here and said, Dr. King's been shot.
On the evening of April 4th, 1968.
We don't believe that.
Lee heard the news as he was working at the Peace Corps near the White House. He could see up the hill toward his parents' flower shop.
Smoke everywhere. Big black, thick black smoke all over the city.
A violent reaction to the death of a staunchly nonviolent man.
How could they? You know, I mean, this is a nonviolent, soft-spoken, easygoing kind of man. How could he die violently? It just didn't seem real.
Sadness turned to frustration.
And the frustration turned to anger. And the first brick was thrown through the window at People's Drugstore at 14th and U.
And it only grew from there. Lee ran up to the shop so his mother wouldn't have to face the violence alone.
We just locked the door, put Soul Brother on the window, and shotgun, sitting down, just watching over the place.
Soul Brother was to signify it's a black-owned business. Ben's put up the same.
They knew who they were burning out. Folks say, well, they burned out their own neighborhood, but basically they burned out white folks' businesses who didn't hire black people.
The vandalism, looting, and violence persisted for 4 days.
It was a very frustrating time. It's amazing when I think back about it, you know, it was a very scary time.
Even though a curfew was set, the police let Ben stay open.
It provided a place for first responders, police officers, city officials, and even the activists to come in and maybe find a way to discuss how to quell the violence.
Even as whole blocks burned around Ben's on all sides, the restaurant remained a refuge.
Even the rioters loved Ben's Chili Bowl.
4 days later, nearly 1,200 buildings had been damaged or destroyed, 13 were dead, and there were over 6,000 arrests.
Everything was pretty much abused. You know, there wasn't very much more to do.
And that's the way the neighborhood stayed.
Those businesses didn't reopen.
For decades.
It was devastating, you know, devastating. Everything was burned down and blighted.
Burned out buildings and empty lots became the norm there, and with that kind of environment,
heroin moved in. A few years later, crack moves in. And our beautiful, classy neighborhood took a downhill turn for 20 years. 20 years. Became a serious ghetto.
Ali remembers working with undercover police to stop drug deals in her restaurant or being more direct about it.
All I'd have to do is go over and speak to them. I don't come on your corner. It's not fair for you to do this. Okay, Miss Ben, I'm sorry. Done.
But then, a glimmer of hope.
1988. Decided that there was going to be a subway for us.
Lee noticed some changes.
Developers, they heard it first because you had to get the word, and they started buying up all the property.
When surveyors came through, Ali says they found only 3 operating businesses, Ben's, Lee's, and the Industrial Bank.
Not enough to maintain one lane of traffic out there. They simply dug up the entire street, 65 feet deep.
U Street was closed for 5 years. Lee says that was worse than the riots.
The street was torn up. It looked like Beirut up here. It looked like a war zone.
The flower shop stayed open thanks to what Lee calls very loyal customers.
We depended on holidays, you know, and those things always are still occurring.
Ben stayed open as well, though. Ali says it wasn't easy.
Any morning when my young employee and I would walk in this door, there would be dirty water all over the floor because they broke a water line. Sometimes we had to dash out of here because they broke a gas line.
The station finally opened in 1991.
I had a banner made, a big old banner that said, "We survived Metro."
Some 23 years after the riots, and it soon became clear that the short-term pain was giving way to long-term gain.
Things started popping up all over the place. New buildings, renovations going on, and all that good stuff. So it was an amazing transformation.
It turned into a destination, in Lee's words, though he laments.
It's kind of transient, people coming and going, you know what I mean? I don't see people staying. You know, I don't see the neighborhood feeling now that we used to have.
Lee now says only about half of his customers are African American.
Demographics are a lot different now. You got, it's like a hodgepodge, like a New York situation. To me, that's a wonderful thing. You know, I like that.
Lee seems to agree, calling the area thriving now.
Change is inevitable. And we are now exposed to cultures from all over this earth. I think that's cool.
She admits maybe more African Americans would still be here had the riots never happened, but Lee thinks the ends justify the means for his community.
It made things better now, you know.
Both Ali and Lee say they're semi-retired, but still enjoy coming into their respective shops and watching the area transform around them.
I've made many friends here, and people have been very kind. We're all just people. It doesn't matter what our walk of life is or our status. We're basically all just people.
Steve Burns on WMAL and WMAL.com.